Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in darkness. And the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we was listening on yesterday to a lecture on black people are headed into a second slavery. I mean, it was a powerful lecture by Dr. George Fraser. And he was saying, if black people don't change, we're going to be back in slavery, particularly in economic slavery. And for the most part, I'm right with what Dr. Fraser was saying. I agree with a lot of what he said. I kind of question that little bit that he said about Donald Trump being a racist, but that's another subject altogether. But on this subject, ladies and gentlemen, it looked like he was right there on the money. Other than, like I say, his political views, because a lot of people, you know, they hate, you know, Donald Trump. But when you deal with politics, if you have to throw out the personality. See, politics today is all about a beauty contest. It's all about a beauty contest. Now, in terms of policies, don't look at the personalities. Don't look at the personalities. You can go get a pretty person that got a pretty personality, and they can win the presidency. No, you need somebody up there that is doing a job, somebody that can get the job done. And that's what we need to elect. So like I say, other than that, ladies and gentlemen, I think this man is right on the money. I think he's right on the money. So get close to your radio and listen.
Each person directing a wind center must have some history in the financial services industry, and then they must get a CFEI, which is a certification in financial education instruction. You see, because you are a stockbroker doesn't mean that you can teach financial education. It is no different than basketball. Michael Jordan is the baddest basketball player who have ever played the game, but he would fire himself as a coach of a team that he won because he cannot coach. But Phil Jackson was a mediocre basketball player, and Phil Jackson has 11 rings, and 9 of them are for coaching. Because you can play basketball doesn't mean that you can teach basketball. Because you can read doesn't mean that you can teach reading. Because you can do math doesn't mean that you can teach math. You have to be certified. I have two African-centered charter schools, and you cannot teach basic reading in my charter schools without certification in reading. So why would we allow our people to teach our people something they're not certified in teaching? And this is especially true for black people because we learn differently.
Yeah.
Right. We're oral, visual, tactile, kinesthetic, and auditory. We're oral, visual, tactile. White folks that teach our inner city children can't teach them.
Right.
Because they do not understand our learning and teaching style. We are an archival Now, I mean, we are an oral people. White folks are archival. They write. They read. Let me say that differently. They write and they read that this world is still being run by books that were written 500 years ago. Don't you ever forget that. They take out of their brain, put it on paper, and publish it. Now, more of us are writing books than ever before. So we're moving in that direction. We've got to write it down, because in order to systemize something, you must be able to articulate it, put it in writing, and then make sure that there's a permanent record of it. That's what books are for. So there's nothing wrong with the oral tradition. It's a beautiful tradition. We see it every Sunday in the Black church. We are probably the best speakers in the world because we come from an oral tradition. President Barack Obama, I remember when he first got elected, a good white friend said to me, "Man, President Obama can really speak, Dr. Fraser." I said, and he said, "No, he's a great speaker, isn't he?" I said, "You know, I." I said, "Have you ever heard Freddie Haynes?"
Yes.
All right.
"Have you ever heard of Gardner Taylor?"
Yes, sir. Right.
"Ever heard of Howard Thurman?"
Right.
"You ever heard Jeremiah Wright speak?" "Oh, yeah, I heard Jeremiah Wright." "Of course they heard Jeremiah Wright." So we have an oral tradition. We learn differently. We have to learn. So we have to teach our people differently about wealth building and educate them differently around literacy, and we have designed a curriculum, a special, culturally specific curriculum, using special tools and ideas to educate our people about money, to pull them away from the most important addiction that we have. One of the most important addiction, I say important, I don't really mean that, but one of the worst, let me say that another way. We have a very badass habit. We really do. Now, I've been black for 73 years, and we have a badass habit. This habit is the worst in us than anybody else in America. And you know what that habit is? Our habit or addiction to instant gratification versus delayed gratification. There's lots of socio-psychological reasons for it. I don't want to get into it, right? I can take up too much time telling you why that we need to feel good right now. Because for 350 years, we didn't feel so good. Right? For 350 years, we really couldn't party. Right? For the last 50 years, maybe we could say, if we want to look at this metaphorically, we were just partying, we were just celebrating our fight for freedom. But basically, we are really just two generations out of oppression. I mean, the civil rights laws were enacted in 1965, the Voting Rights Act in 1967. We're just two generations out of oppression. Right? And the Jews did not get to the promised land after they were freed for how many years?
40.
Right? They misbehaved and had to get their stuff together for 40 years. Well, you know, after 350 years of the crap that we went through, maybe we had to just do a little partying. You know, buy a little something-something. You know, look nice for a change. Right? But now, you know, it's 40, the 40 years is over. The party is over, brothers and sisters. All right? So we now have to do the right thing. So we are opening the Wind Center. It is a system, as you've heard me say yesterday, that ideas are wonderful, but systems are better. We are the most creative people on the planet.
Yes.
We are. There's nobody more creative than black people. That is a special gift that God has given us. The moral and spiritual grounding gift and the gift of creativity. We invented jazz. Think about it. Jazz is 80% improvisation. Improvisation is creating an idea per second. If John Coltrane was alive and you invited him into this theater to play My Favorite Things, his classic, he would blow it out of the water. Only 10% of it you would recognize. It would, the melody, that's the only 10% you would recognize. The rest of it would be totally improvised. If he went home and you invited him back tomorrow to play the same song, it would sound entirely different. That's how creative, that's the power of our creativity. But we ain't that good at building systems. Probably the best system, Bishop, that we've ever built is the system of the Black Church. The second best would be our fraternities and sororities. That's a system. So we have to move from just wonderful creative ideas, you know, being great football, baseball, basketball players, right? We are the talent, but we don't own the system. We don't even own rap. You know? We don't own rap. We create the music. You know, we do the singing, dancing, playing football, yeah, but we don't own the system. The system is a system to produce, to package, to manufacture, and to distribute. What is the distribution system for football? The stadiums. The media. So, that's a different kind of thinking, and this is the kind of thinking that we must engage our people in the 21st century. Now, all of this will come under what we're going to be introducing, or launching, I should say, because we introduced it this year, Fraser Nation. Now, for 31 years, we have been FraserNet. It is not an ego trip. There's only one reason we used Fraser. Because the brand has been around for 31 years, and it has trust and loyalty, and a fine reputation. Right? So in the branding world, so I learned this from Procter & Gamble, this is called brand extension. There was Ivory Soap, and then we made Ivory Liquid, and then we made Ivory Flakes, and the reputation of Ivory Soap was gave the halo effect to the extension of that name and brand. This is the same science, brothers and sisters, except you don't know it and I do. Now some of you may know it. So that's all it is. It's not an ego play. It is leveraging the reputation of your brand. Now, the theme for Fraser Nation is citizens of generational wealth. Citizens of generational wealth. That's the theme. Right. Under FraserNet for 31 years, we had three words that described who we were and what we offered. At FraserNet, connect, grow, and prosper. That was our unique selling proposition. That was our value added benefit. Is we enabled you to connect with each other, and through connections you would grow, and through growing you would prosper. That's 31 years. We're now morphing into something a little bit different, a little bit better, I think. And we will have three terms, not three words, that will define and describe Fraser Nation. And those terms will be demonstrated excellence. That's one term. That's the first term. Demonstrated excellence. I did not say excellence. Everybody says excellence. Everybody banties that word. No. Not black people. We're taking that to another level. We're talking about demonstrate to us your excellence. I hear your mouth running and your lips moving. I know you talk in excellence. Prove it. Where must that excellence be? It must be a knowledge of self, a deeper commitment to personal growth and development, constant never-ending improvement, and lifelong learning. All of this will be synthesized under Fraser Nation as demonstrated excellence. Demonstrate to me. that you got it going on. When you demonstrate to us that you have it going on, you can become a citizen of our nation. So our nation is not for everybody, just as America's not for everybody.
All right.
At least certainly according to Donald Trump. Don't be trying to get in our nation and bringing your babies up in the air. And you ain't about nothing.
All right.
We may take your babies. Right? And excommunicate you from our nation. And we'll figure out how to get you your babies back later. Okay. I went off on that. So demonstrated excellence is the first term. The second term is equity and investment. Equity and investment. Forbes magazine comes out with a special edition once a year called the Forbes 400. It's the 400 richest people in the entire world. Do you know how 398 of those 400 richest people in the entire world made their wealth? Private equity. Private equity. There's an exception to that rule, and that's Warren Buffett, who made his money through public equity.
Right.
Buying 5, 10, 15 million shares of McDonald's or Nike. And Warren Buffett understood a long time ago that it's much more important to buy Nike stock than to buy a pair of $200 Nike sneakers. Warren Buffett doesn't wear Nike sneakers, but he knows you buy them. You buy them. Warren Buffett understood it's more important to buy McDonald's stock than to eat a Big Mac. Equity and investment. Equity and investment. That is the second term. If you're about that, we can lead you to equity plays. We have friends who are starting and building businesses, and you know, let me just dimensionalize that for you. Had Mark Zuckerberg been your friend 25 years ago, and he was working in his room at Harvard trying to get Facebook started, and asked you to loan him $5,000 or $10,000, that'd be worth about $25 million today. That's private equity. This is before the IPO. You understand what private equity is? It is before the IPO. Right? Then there's public equity. So, equity and investment. And then finally, the third term for Fraser Nation will be entrepreneurial thinking. Entrepreneurial thinking. I did not say entrepreneurship. We must work on the minds of black people.
Yes.
What is entrepreneurial thinking? Entrepreneurial thinking is taking responsibility, taking ownership, and mitigating the risks to all things that you do in life. And that mindset may lead you someday to a business. And we know that there's some Negroes that should not be within 100 yards of owning a business. I don't know how long you've been black, but I've been black for 73 years. And we got some Negroes out there doing business. And there's a difference between a business man and a businessman. And what we're trying to do with Fraser Nation is put the business people out of business. Because they're messing it up for those of us who are trying to do serious business. So, that's the next thing. And then to aggregate the brothers and sisters, the institutions and the organizations that demonstrate excellence on a regular basis, and to make them a part of this Fraser Nation, which will be a system. It is a system that will be institutionalized over a long period of time. It will be membership based and chapter based, and people heading up each state for the various chapters in that state, guess what they will be called? Governors. We have a nation. When you head up a state in America, what do you call them? A governor. So we will develop nomenclature that connotes dignity, respect, and power, and demonstrated responsibility and demonstrated excellence. That's where we're going. Finally, and I'm going to end on a couple of notes and then take questions and then roll up out of here. To return sooner rather than later. Right, Benzel?
Absolutely.
What, 3 minutes?
30.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to leave. Now, is it 30 before we... Is that, we got to leave here at 4:15. I just want to get the times right.
Yeah, 4:15. So, 3:45 is our stop with you at the...
Right, what time is it now?
It's 3:15.
3:15, okay, good. All right, so I'm going to leave some time for questions, but I just want to leave you with one little tip. I have traveled the globe. I've met some of the most powerful and most important people to have lived. From Malcolm to Martin, Oprah, and Denzel. And what I've discovered in observing them and befriending them, they have one very, very simple little secret that they are able to act on that less than successful people are simply not able to do. What is that secret? They have the ability to remove toxic people and bloodsuckers from their life. People who drain you of your time, your energy, and your patience. Now, this is very easy to say, this is very difficult to do. Do you know why? Because most of these people are your family. Strangling is not an option. This is why I believe that friends are critically important, because it's God's way of apologizing for your life. Something, set it free. If it comes back, it will always be yours. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours to begin with. But there's a big but on that, brothers and sisters. If it sits in your living room, messes up all your stuff, eats all your food, uses your cell phone, takes your money, and doesn't appear to realize that you have set it free, you've either married it or you gave birth to it. Be able to remove toxic people and bloodsuckers from your life. Introduce me to your 5 closest friends, and that will tell you who you are. As they know and as they go, you go. Business is about relationships. Without relationships, you have no business. Without relationships, you have no business being in business. In fact, the business you're really in is in the business of building relationships. So your relationships are everything.
Absolutely.
Everything. 15% of your success in life will be determined by your skills. But 85% of your success in life will be determined by your interpersonal and people skills, your ability to cultivate, nurture, and develop relationships at work, at home, and in the community. There are 3 networks you're going to have to work on for your entire life, through every passage of your life. If you're lucky, you'll get 8 passages. Each passage is about 10 years. Let me explain that to you. You're a different person at 10 years old than you were at 1. You're a different person at 20 than you were at 10. Let us pray. You're a different person at 30 than you were at 20. You're a different person at 40 than you were at 30. 50 than 40. 60 than 50. 70 than 60. 80 than 70. You're constantly evolving and changing, and people are platooning in and out of your life through every passage of your life. And if you don't have the good sense to understand who is with you and who is not, you're going down. You ain't getting where you're supposed to go. Smart people rarely hang around stupid people unless they're related to them. I'm just telling you. The less you associate with some people, the more your life will improve. And you better understand that. When God wants to get into your life, God will send a person. When the devil wants to get into your life, the devil will send a person. Your task in life is to determine which one is which and who has been sent by whom. Our enemies have been anointed to have us do those things that we would never consider doing. It is written in the 23rd Psalm. Read the 23rd Psalm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thy enemies. Now you better be able to discern that. Now, I don't know who I am talking to here this afternoon, but I am telling you there's somebody in your life that when, as soon as you humanly possibly can, you must bless them and release them. Yes. Or it's not going to happen for you. This is huge. I'll put a pin in that. We'll pick up on that in chapter 2. Benzel, and I hope and pray, by the way, that you help this brother do this work. Let me say that differently. Money is the mother's milk of all intentions. And without money, all you have is a good damn intention. But nothing will happen. You have a great start. This is an important initiative. This is for you and about you. Make sure that it has the mother's milk that it needs to take the next steps forward. You cannot have a baby and not give it its milk. So I ask for Benzel, that you do everything you can, that you make a commitment to this idea, to your future, and you do it by putting your money where your mouth is. It's worth it, and it cannot be done without it. I love you for the work that you and Keith and your crew and your team and the folks that supported this. This is, we ain't doing this, what in the hell are we doing? So God bless you. There's a prayer that we use at the Power Networking Conference every year for 17 years. We call it our Ancestral Recognition Prayer. This is how we close the conference every year. I want you to do me a personal favor and take the hand of the person on the left and the person on the right. We are all connected. You do not have to stand on this particular prayer. May we always remember those who have gone before us. May we be inspired by their vision and their valor. May their lives continually remind us that service is more important than success, that people are more important than possessions, that principle is more important than power. May whatever we do be molded and shaped by honesty, excellence, and commitment. May our children and our children's children carry forth with pride the nobility of the histories that are represented here and the various traditions that are represented in this room. To the creator of all of us, by whatever name we may refer to that creator, we dedicate our lives to make our world better. and more beautiful. Can I get an amen? Now I want you to repeat after me with enthusiasm, and I'm finished. I want you to say, success lives in Denver. Say that.
Success lives in Denver.
Because success lives where I live.
Because success lives where I live.
We must be willing to share our success.
We must be willing to share our success.
And to help others succeed.
And to help others succeed.
Each one.
Must reach one.
Must reach one.
And teach one.
And teach one. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, that was Brother George Fraser, and he was talking about black people headed to a second slavery. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.